This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom, which you can also hear on my website, spotlightonfreedom.com. Today I would like to continue to defend the thesis we began last week that liberalism has really run its course and run out of steam, predominantly because it has become morally bankrupt, and that is why conservatism rules with impunity today. Liberals have become simply secluded political manipulators of their own subgroups because they are either inconsistent in living the values they proclaim as theirs, or because they have lost these values completely and have surrendered them to their own individual interests. What are liberalism's values, after all? We usually assert that equality, liberty, and fraternity are the foundational issues of liberalism. But how often and how consistently do those who proclaim their liberalism live those values? Increasingly, the answer is becoming not often. For example, if equality and fraternity are really liberal values, then they should translate into consistent concern for the good of all. But they don't. Let me adduce a few examples. First, let's look at environmentalism, an allegedly fundamental liberal concern. Environmentalism is usually meant as a global concern. But when one scratches the surface of many of the most vocal environmentalists, in more cases than not, one sees rather quickly that those who are often the most passionate in their public persona as environmentalists are actually the most radically individualist in their philosophy. What this translates into is a concern only with one's own immediate environment. We don't want our neighborhood spoiled for us. But in Kansas, who really cares what happens? It doesn't really affect me. But when the attitude of me in my own backyard is taken, one has ceased to be a liberal and has instead become what is called a neoliberal. Neoliberalism is a radically individualist philosophy in which one is concerned strictly with his or her own good. It is primarily an economic philosophy, but it does reach beyond people's wallets. Let me present a quite local example. I wish I had a dime for each time someone said to me, "Okay, you're here in Grass Valley, now shut the door behind you." I have always wondered what the real meaning of those comments was. If the meaning is to advocate that we attempt to keep small towns small only because it suits the desires of those who so advocate it, that's not liberal or environmental, it's neoliberal at best and perniciously elitist at worst. Let's extend this notion a little further by examining the deliberate marginalization that is used as a penalty against members of a group within liberal groupings themselves. Allegedly liberal people in positions of power who proclaim the liberal values of equality and fraternity will not hesitate to go back on those values and attack and alienate another liberal when there is a conflict between those who have power and those who challenge it within the group. The means used within liberal groups by those who have power is to seek to destroy reputations and separate the challenger from the group. For example, let us examine the situation with John Edwards and the Democratic Party. When Edwards co-sponsored the resolution authorizing the invasion of Iraq, there was no word of protest from the powers of the Democratic Party. But when Edwards started leaning to the left, the powers began to look for ways to alienate him. His admitted affair last week was the perfect opportunity for the party elite to get rid of someone who challenged their cushy and profitable positions of power in the Democratic Party. Edwards was unceremoniously dumped, both as a vice presidential candidate possibility and as a speaker at the Democratic Convention. Most shameful of all, the Obama campaign admitted that they were already in the process of dumping Edwards before the news of the affair broke. All this because Edwards found his conscience and began talking about challenging the status quo economically and politically with regard to U.S. foreign policy, especially in Iraq. This capitulation of principle to power on the part of the Democratic elite happens not only on the national scene, but on the local scene as well. If you belong to one of a number of local liberal groups, you know what I mean. In addition to the examples of environmentalism and the use of power for marginalizing those who challenge the comfort of the powerful, let us end with a question. Do liberal people really care about the common good anymore? Or is it their concern rather with their own individual standing and reputation within any given culture they inhabit? Liberalism is disunited and broken, not so much because liberals cannot get organized, but because they no longer believe in or uphold their own fundamentally proclaimed values. Until they do that, organization or the lack of it pales by comparison with the main problem of liberalism today, and that is rectified only by surrendering self-serving actions in the name of individualist liberalism and realize instead that equality and fraternity bind us together in a community. We have now deconstructed contemporary liberalism as it seems to be practiced today. But in the face of this dire fact that liberals have nothing more to say based on their actions, there is hope for the future of liberal ideals. We will look at the reasons for that hope for liberalism as a movement starting next week. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.